Pastor Tim starts out this message talking about attention grabbing. And what he's talking about at the beginning of the sermon will be a video that was shown of race car accidents.
All right, these guys up front certainly got their attention. All right. So how many of you enjoyed watching that? Raise your hand. Tell the truth. How many of you enjoyed, kind of caught a hold of that, got something out of that one? You know, we tend to love crash and burn scenes, don't we? It's something that just draws us in. We want that. I don't know why, but we are. So did that get your attention so far? Yeah? So does it make you wonder what's coming next? All right, if you enjoy watching crash and burn scenes, then I think you're going to enjoy this next message. From today's message, we're going to look at a person named Achan. So today we look at a person in our series whose life runs off the road. He crashes and burns in the midst of his life. And it's a really, really, really bad crash. And so we're not going to do this for entertainment, though. That was kind of to get our attention. We're not going to do this for entertainment. We're doing this to learn an important lesson from this Bible character. But not yet. Let me ask you something else. You know, this is something we already see around us, don't we? We see in lives of people around us, we see this kind of thing happen, right? We see crashes. We see people's lives hit the ditch. So if we think about it, do you know anyone whose life has crashed and burned? Do you know anyone like that? You know, we're probably shaking heads, no pointing fingers here. This is just between us. You know, we kind of know, or we've seen things like that happen, probably all of us. We've seen it. And so people whose lives have veered into wrecks. So even though, you know, sometimes we see this happen even though it seems like they have great potential. I'm going to invite you to hang in with me here. This stuff is real. This stuff happens. And sometimes this happens even when we see people with great potential. For whatever reason, some reason, their lives just go off. It seems like everything they've needed for the promise, everything happens. And then without warning, it seems like everything just disintegrates. So I want to ask this question. Why does that happen? Why do people with seemingly such promise end up in the ditch? Well, today we're going to discover why we crash and burn when we hide our dark little secrets. It's that little secret that we think that nobody knows about, that nobody's ever going to find out. It's that little secret that causes our lives to implode. It's that shady little secret that we think is going to just stay covered up. We think it's not going to have any effect on life, but in the end it causes a fiery crash. And here's the crazy part. We think that the secret is completely safe. We think that it's not going to have any kind of effect on our lives or on the lives of those around us. We think that it's hidden, it's harmless, it's never going to be found out. But unknowingly, as we hold that secret, our lives are heading for a collision into a burnt pile of wreckage. And today, we're going to look at Achan's secret sin in the Bible. So we're going to do it for one very simple reason, and it's this. You and I, we don't want to repeat that mistake. Bethlehem Church, we don't want to repeat that fiery crash of Achan. So we open our Bibles today to Joshua 6, and we need a little bit of the backstory here. So in Joshua chapter 6, we find out that Israel has come off this amazing victory. Last week we talked about this amazing victory in Jericho where God gave them this big, giant walled city. And the army completely obeys God's commands. And then it equals victory for Joshua and the army. And one of those acts of obedience is to honor God's holiness. And it's the law of first things. So this is the particular principle in the Bible. I think this is amazing. This is interesting how it happens. The first things belong to God, right? The first things belong to God. So the first livestock that is born to Israel, that belongs to God. The first fruits of the harvest, that stuff, they're to honor, to give to God. Even the firstborn children are devoted to God out of Israel. So it remains that So it reminds God's people that everything comes from the Lord. Everything is God's, and the first things get devoted back to God. You know, it's even the principle of the tithe, if you've ever heard that idea that the first part goes to God. So Jericho is the first city, right? It's the first thing, it's the first fruit, so Jericho belongs to who? To God, right? So it belongs to God. So Joshua, to honor God in Jericho, God tells him that the city and all that's in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble in it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. So here's the idea of the first things. Israel is to devote that whole city to God, destroying everything in the city completely. Now, this is hard to grasp. I know theologically, you know, we have to kind of wrestle around with this a little bit and say, ooh, gosh, you know, destroy everything, all the people, the donkeys, and everything. But it's how God spoke to this brutal war culture, how God demonstrates his holiness and intolerance of sin in this instant. So the gold and the silver, they're to go into the treasury of the Lord. Everything belongs to God because it is the first thing. So the one warning that's given is here is absolutely stay away from the devoted things, right? Do not take any of it. It's not yours. It will lead to destruction if you take it. The scripture says, but what? But. Okay, let's try that again. The scripture says, but. There we go. Keep away from the devoted things. So don't take it. Don't touch it. Keep away from it. It's first fruits. It's first things. It belongs to God. Does that make sense? Do you get that? Right? The first part, the first thing is God's. Is there any question in that? What belongs to God? What belongs to God? The first things. All right. So it's clear. Keep away from the devoted things. So here's why this is so important. When my dad was farming, and his brother Larry was helping out, and my brother-in-law, Billy, was there. They would work late in the fields, and, you know, we were really hoping to get there, right? We are. So late in the fields at night, and then come in for supper. Mom would keep supper warm, and they'd just come and eat as they could. And so Billy and Dad, they came in and ate and had supper. And then Larry couldn't make it in yet, so Mom put his supper in the oven to keep it warm. And when Larry got there, then Mom went to the oven and opened it up, and guess what? The food was gone. Somebody had taken Larry's food. And Mom was completely upset. She said, who took Larry's food? Well, you have to know my dad. My dad loved food. He loved to eat. And it didn't matter. I mean, the temptation was just too much. It was sitting there. It needed to be eaten. He was the one to eat it. So, but he wasn't going to tell my mom that. So when she said, who ate the food? Dad looked at Billy and says, I can't believe you did that. And Billy's response was, his mouth dropped. Why is it important? Well, Israel has been consecrated. They've been set apart. They've been set apart to God as holy. And so God is giving this promised land to them, all of it, right? But to enter and keep it, they have to remain holy. So God's telling them through Joshua how to do it. And here is the promise. God will be with them as they obey the law, as they follow God. God will be with them. And God will give them all the promises that he has promised. He will give them the land. He'll give them the vineyards they did not plant, the houses they did not build. All they need to do is be faithful to God's word, and God will be faithful to the promises. So here's the principle, right? Follow God and blessings will flow, right? Say that with me. Follow God and blessings will flow. So when we follow God, we won't worry about crashing and burning because God's blessings will flow to us. Now the crash and burn part. For some reason, this is the part that we really, really look ahead to. We want to see this. So in chapter 7, we meet Achan. And Achan is about to become Bacon. Great, I'm glad you got that. All right, how do we know? Because the first words of chapter 7 are this. It says, but. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. What did he take? He took the things that belonged to God. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. So Achan has a secret. He's stolen the first things. However, nobody knows this yet. Nobody but God, anyway. Nobody else knows this. So Achan thinks he's gotten away with his little dark secret. But here's the shocking part of Achan's little secret. The Bible doesn't say that the Lord's anger burns against Achan. What does it say? So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. How can that be? How is that fair? Achan's the one who took the devoted things. God should be upset with Achan, but instead it says God is upset with Israel. It's confirmed in verse 11. God says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. Israel has. Israel is guilty. So what does this tell us? It says that our secret little sins have consequences that go far beyond ourselves. Our dark little secrets, they reach out into the lives of everyone around us. Our family, our church, our community, our coworkers. And although Achan's little sin is not known to Joshua, all of their lives are headed for a serious multi-car pileup. So this is going to get really, really bad. We don't want to repeat this in our lives. We want to learn from Achan. So here's what I want us to do today. I want to think of ourselves in Achan's place. I know he's not the hero of the story. I know we don't like to look at ourselves as, you know, that dark character, unless you're a Joker fan, that dark character. But I invite us today to do that, to put ourselves in Achan's shoes. Achan has a secret. Do you ever feel like Achan? I want something more than living God's way. Just a little more, just a few devoted things. Not much, not a lot, just a little. Who's going to know anyway? Did Achan know that was wrong? Well, later on in verse 21, it says that Achan says he hid his stuff underground in his tent, so he obviously knew that this wasn't the thing to do. He had to hide it. It's his hidden sin. It's his secret. But who's going to know? Who's going to know those little secrets? We all want to hide our little secrets, don't we? Something we know it's wrong, but we want to keep it anyway. We want to keep doing it anyway. It's just, after all, our little secret. But we're going to find out for Achan that the secret is a short and costly trip into the ditch of destruction. So what happens because of Achan's little safe secret? Well, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. The spies come back with this great report. Oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. You know, God gave us Jericho, a much bigger city. We don't even need all the army. Just send 3,000 people up. We'll take it. We'll bring a report back. And so they come back with a report, but something is radically wrong this time. An easy win becomes this great crash, and they're routed. So the consequences are devastating. 36 men are killed. 2,964 warriors come back in defeat. They're crushed. And not only that, but their hearts now are like the enemies. Their hearts are melting in fear. And you might think, well, that's not so bad, right? 36 people lost in battle. I mean, it's a tragedy, but only 36. But we have to understand in the context of the book of Joshua, this is the only battle that Joshua lost in the whole book. This is the only one. And there isn't, I couldn't find another record of where there was a death recorded of any of Israel's soldiers besides this one battle. So in this particular place, this is radically wrong. And we know what's wrong, right? We know. Achan has a dark secret. But Joshua has no idea, and he's stunned. He can't grasp how God would allow the army to be defeated. He says, pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they'll surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? Now, how could God abandon Israel? And right now, abandon Joshua. How could he walk away from all these promises? And worse, why is God putting his own character at stake? But you see, God's not abandoning his promises or his name. He's actually keeping them. We follow God, blessings will flow, right? Follow God, blessings will flow. But keep a little secret, and it will do us in. It will cause us to implode. So God's honoring his name by keeping separated from making sin. And he's keeping his word intact, revealing that sin is not a secret. It always brings a curse with it. So sin is no longer a secret. Sin is serious. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, it's just easy to get by that somehow and think it doesn't matter. If you have a little secret today that you're trying to hide from God, this is what we learn from Achan. Sin is not secret. Sin is serious. Our sin is not secret. Our sin is serious. It won't stay hidden. Instead, it'll send our life crashing into the ditch. So Achan is about to experience this. Achan is about to become what? Bacon. So the Lord said to Joshua, should I give that one up for the next sermon? Achan is about to become bacon. The Lord said, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing face down? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possession. So God's saying, this is not okay, not at all. This is sin. This is lying. This is violation. This is robbing. All these words are saying that this is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. So that must have hit Joshua like a bomb, right? Could you do that with me? Right? This revelation is like, Israel has been made liable to destruction just like their enemies. How can that be? It's because of this little secret that Achan is keeping. They're just like the enemies. So what marks God's people is God's presence. And Joshua can't win a single battle without God. And God will not be with his people as long as there is sin in the camp. He says, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. So Moses told them the same thing to his people earlier about their secret sins. He said, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. I think we hear that today. You may be sure that your sin will find you out. That makes me shiver. How about you? Sin. It's not a secret. I'm not sure I like crash scenes anymore. I'm not sure I like Achan's story anymore. I'm not sure I like hearing that these dark little secrets are incredibly dangerous. Because it means I need to take action in my own life. If I really want to experience the promises and blessings of God, if I don't want to end up in the ditch, I need to take action with some stuff that I think is just a quiet little secret. How about you? You know, I really struggle with these kinds of sermons because I know I have to live up to what I'm preaching, and I know what's coming for Achan. I know it's coming for anyone who messes around trying to hide little dark secrets. But I still have great hope. I have great hope for Bethlehem Church. I have great hope for you and I. Because I believe that God has a calling on your life, your lives. I believe God has a calling on this church. I believe God wants us to step into far more than we have been experiencing. I mean, it's been good, but I believe God's promises are huge. God's blessings are great. And no matter where we've been, no matter where we've fallen, no matter what's in our baggage, no matter what's in us, God wants to set us free from that. I believe with all my heart, God wants us to step into the promises of God, step out of that secret sin, step out of that garbage, step out of that trash, and step into the the goodness and grace of God, that forgiving that washes us clean and sets us free to begin to live what God has called us to live, to be the people God has called us to be. I think it's great. And I think more and more and more people are going to experience that life-giving blessing of the gospel through you and through me. I believe that the reach of this church is far greater than what we've even begun to see. Like the seeds of the gospel, I think God really wants to continue to pour out his blessing, and he wants us to get ready for that by simply coming before him and getting free. But to go forward, we have to be set apart, right? To go forward, we have to get rid of those little secret sins that separate us from God. To go forward, we need to experience all of the presence of the Holy Spirit, all of the presence of God, not having anything in the way. And so I'm going to give you an option right now. Here's the option. It's 9:07. We can stop here and go on like we've always been going on. We can just stop and not deal with this stuff. It sort of kind of worked, it seems, so far. Or we can let God finish the work he wants to do. So my hope is that we keep going. My hope is that we go a little further. It's only going to be a little longer. The message is nearing the end. But I hope we go further. But I can't take us, I can't take you where you don't want to go. And so I need to know now. Do you want to go there? Do you want to go there? And I want to hear your answer. If you want to keep going, give me an amen. Okay? If you want to see how Achan's life crashes, give me a big. Do you want to see it? Give me a big. All right? You want to know how Achan becomes bacon? Give me a big bacon. All right? So do you want to learn those steps, to avoid how Achan's life derails, then give me a big, as we sang, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. If you don't want to go, let me encourage you. You know, if you're not there with the Lord, and then that's okay, okay? I don't want to force you into something you don't want to do, but I do want to encourage you. I don't want to see your lives crash. I don't want to see you burn. And so I just invite you to think about this, to take a step. And I encourage you that, if you will, invite the Lord in. There's much blessing. So we finish up. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, is the one in all of Israel's camp that is the sinner, is the one who is keeping the secret. So we read, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden there, hidden in his tent with silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the Valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. That means they threw rocks at him until he was dead. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. He became bacon. So over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger, and therefore this place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Achan only took a few things. It was this little secret. Why was the punishment so huge? Because the consequences of disobedience are always bigger than we imagine. The consequence of disobedience is always bigger than we imagine. So what was the cost of a beautiful robe and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold? 36 lives. 2,964 soldiers defeated and humiliated in battle. A whole nation under the curse of destruction. the little secret cost Achan not just the promise of his inheritance as a child of God, but his very life. And Achan's legacy in the land of promise became a heap of stones named the Valley of Trouble. So in chapter 8, the Lord consecrates the people once more, and they go out. And this is the poignant piece of this story. In chapter 8, the Lord said, you know, Jericho was the first city. The second city I am going to give over to you. And they do. They all go up and they take the city without an issue, no problem. And then God says, everything in this city belongs to you. Everything now is yours. If Achan would have just waited one more city, he could have had everything he wanted. It's all yours now. God gets the first things. Everything else belongs to his people. And so here's what I'm inviting us to do, to give God our dark little secrets. They're not safe. Give God our dark little secrets. Anything you're hiding before God today. And here's the thing. I'm not even going to talk about this. I'm not going to name all the things that we could be naming, because I truly believe that the Holy Spirit has already revealed those things to you. You know. You know what that secret is. I know. I know what those secrets are. Right? They're right here. We've been keeping them. And so I'm inviting us to give them to the Lord today. By this way. Here's how. To confess it to God. Say, God, here's my secret. God knows. But there's something about telling God, confessing it. Here's my secret. And then number two, commit to turning away from it. Commit to saying no more. I'm done. And then three, tell someone. Now, I don't mean turn around to your neighbor and say, guess what? Here's my secret. Not that, okay? Whew. Not that. But sometime this week, tell someone. Because I believe that when we tell someone, when we share that burden, when we invite someone we trust, when we care about, when we love, we know who loves us, to walk with us, that they want nothing more than to see us walk in victory, to tell someone so they can encourage us in that journey. Confess, turn away, and sometime this week tell someone. And so Cheryl's going to come up and play a little reprise. Maybe she didn't know that. And I'm going to invite us just in a few moments just to silently before God, tell God, confess. And then commit to turn away. And then I encourage you sometime this week. And if you don't have anyone you can talk to, you can come and talk to me. You can talk to Cheryl. You can talk to staff, someone. Tell someone this week. I know it's a huge step. But I believe that God wants us to set this down so we can move ahead in the blessing God has for you and me. So Cheryl's going to play. If you want to mark this with a physical act, you can come up and kneel here. Doesn't mean that we're going to come and ask you, what's your secret? No, this is just between you and God. But if it means something to you, you're welcome to come and kneel. So let's just take a few moments. Come before God. Lay it down. This is your time with the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. God will wipe them out. God will take them away. And He will purify us from all unrighteousness. God will make us right with Him. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that is the promise. Times of refreshing for you, for me, for His church, for those who don't yet know the good news of the gospel. Times of refreshing for you. If you're wondering what you just walked into today, let me encourage you. God wants nothing more, Jesus wants nothing more than to let you know that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are free, that your past no longer matters to Him, it no longer holds you back. You are free to become the people God wants you to be, to live the life that will bless you beyond measure. I hope that is where you're heading today. So let me pray for us. God, thank you. God, this is tough. We'd rather not share those things. They're personal, they're private, they only matter to us. But we know it's not true anymore, Lord. We know you have exposed our hearts. And Lord, we know that you want us to be in a better place. And so, Lord, help us to truly let go of these things, to tell someone we can trust. Show us that person. And Lord, help us to walk into the freedom and grace and love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, Lord, may your grace fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen.